Welcome back to the Junks, coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan, Team 980, 910 The Fan if you're listening in Richmond and Monumental Sports Network. It's time now to head out to the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. We say good morning to Grant Paulson, co-host of Grant and Danny that you listen to here on The Fan every Monday through Friday, 2 till 6 p.m. He's in Atlanta for the Major League Baseball All-Star Game.
Well, I should say thank or congratulate him on the birth of his new baby.
He's very fertile, that Grant Paulson.
4 or 5. Stay away from Grant. He'll knock you up in 2 seconds.
He can do that, yes.
Hey, congrats, buddy.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. You guys have to catch up now. I'm at 4. I don't think anybody's got 4 in that room.
Nobody in this room has 4.
You're the only one.
We're holding.
I've been snipped.
Are you eventually going to get to 5?
No, absolutely not.
This is it.
That's Dunsky.
This is it.
He's ready for vasectomy madness.
Can you explain the I love the president bit. Is this something that the Paulson family does? Can you explain this?
So I just always thought it was cool. I mean, being my middle name's Harrison too, right? So my parents doubled up just randomly. It wasn't like a theme in my family or anything, but they wanted they always say a powerful name. So they went Grant Harrison. Mm-hmm. And growing up, I always, early on, I thought it was cool. I was more into kind of learning about history a little bit and presidents just because of it. Mm-hmm. So I always thought it would be neat. And then when I ran it by the wife, probably before we got married, she kind of liked the idea. So then it was just about agreeing on the names. But yeah, we've got Reagan, Truman, McKinley, and now we've got Lincoln. So
nice job,
we got
buddy.
The Mount Rushmore, man.
Very
good.
For a second, I joked that you were doing the running presidents from the Nats games.
Well, you know what's
racing
funny is
presidents,
like, my kids are obsessed with that because of the names, obviously. But yeah, I used to, all the stuff that I used to hate, like my buddies always make fun of me. Mascots, I thought were the dumbest thing in the world, or the racing presidents, was the bane of my existence. Now I'm like running around Nats Park just looking for Abe, praying that I get to see him because the kids want to get a picture.
You love Major Tutty. I mean, you're into Major Tutty now.
All right,
Major Tutty's kind of my guy. I do like him a lot. I like a fat mascot who's like completely the opposite of intimidating. Although he's a little more shredded now. I don't know if you guys have seen this. He's been on Cope Berry. He's got him, so he's a little weight loss. He's a little tightened some things up. So good for Major Tutty.
All right, so who's your guy, Cakes? You love the Philly mascot.
I mean, I don't want to overhype that because we're not in Philly, but Gritty's kind of my guy. I love Slapshot, too. Don't get me wrong. But Gritty's one
Cakes,
seed.
You're with me. There's two different ways to go with the mascot, right? There's like the forceful looking scary guy that you don't want to deal with, and then there's just the wacky creepy guy, which is Gritty. The Fredericksburg Nationals have the best mascot ever. You guys have to look this guy up. His name's Gus, and it's like this weird purple monster, but the backstory that they came up with, which is ridiculous, is that it was like George Washington's imaginary friend. And it's just the creepiest little guy. But look him up. He's out of the same, cut from the same cloth as Gritty in Philly.
All right,
so Grant, first let's characterize, get your opinion on the record here. I know you've talked about it on your show and you've been tweeting, etc. But the Nats kind of surprise people, those of us that are casual observers of the MLB draft. We kind of all assume it was going to be the Holiday kid or the Anderson kid, and they kind of, an outsider for us, but a kid that was fifth ranked. He was like in their MLB program or whatever, like Team USA or whatever he was, at like 14 or 15, co-MVP. So he's been in the mix of elite players for his age group. He's the youngest kid in the draft. They draft Eli Willits at 1. My understanding is you love the pick.
Love it. Yeah, absolutely. This was the guy I wanted him to take. I didn't think they would because there were two pretty famous like celebrity players available that were a lot easier to take.
Yeah.
And frankly, two guys that were safer, right? Everybody saw Kate Anderson, LSU lefty, on national television, throw a complete game shutty in the College World Series. I mean, he is an easy player to select and then watch move fast. I mean, he would be in the big leagues by the end of next season. The other option would have been, as you guys know, Ethan Holliday. It's the first family of baseball at this point. I mean, and the guy who has got the most power upside in the class. But there is some question about him that doesn't get brought up a lot, which is he's got some swing and miss, and there are concerns about handling velocity, which he didn't do a great job with on the showcase circuit. There's definitely a chance he ends up being really, really good. There's no doubt about that. Mm-hmm. But he's not going to stay at shortstop. He's huge. He's at best going to be a third baseman. I actually think there's a better chance he plays in the corner outfield. So when you're drafting players, as you guys know, the more value is up the middle, the premium defenders, right? If you can play short, even if you're not quite as good offensively, if you can play center, that's way more valuable to a team. It's very rare. Most guys can't play those two positions. Eli Willits, the youngest player in the draft class, is absolutely going to stay at shortstop. So that's the number one reason why I liked him. Number two is, and this is just my own proclivity, it's bat-to-ball skills. Like, this is a hit tool guy, so you're talking about being able to hit for average, talking about being able to get on base, not swing and miss a whole lot. It's a crapshoot anytime you draft a high schooler, especially when you draft a 17-year-old. Like, you are playing the lottery here. But this is someone who is going to be a plus runner, a plus defender, and has the chance. I mean, everyone keeps saying he's not going to have power. I think ultimately it's probably going to be like 17 to 20 home runs in the big leagues. But if he's hitting 280 and stealing 30 bags and playing good shortstop, that's a really, really valuable player. And the last thing I'll say really quickly is they were able to save some money on this pick that they use later. People act like that's cheap or the learner's like choosing not to spend at all. No, you just use the money on later picks, and they ended up having a banner third through fifth round.
Well, let me ask you a question then. And I think I know the answer because learners don't like to spend money. But C.J. Abrams is their shortstop. He's 24 years old. Okay, once his deal is up, let's just say he gets better and better and better, they want to keep C.J. Abrams. Well, in 3 or 4 years, Willits might be ready to come up. You can't play them both. What do they do?
Well, by then, you would move C.J. Abrams off shortstop. I mean, the sneaky...
Where are you going to put him?
You can play him at second. Depending on how he's moving or running at that point, you could play him at third. The center field. I mean, but first of all, I would tell you right now, he's a below average defensive shortstop as it is. Now,
yeah,
I'm not saying
they
should move C.J. Abrams, but like if they were like, let's say they were a real organization that spent money.
Yeah, exactly.
Then you could go get an actual defensive shortstop, and they're the worst defensive infield in baseball. One of the worst defensive teams in baseball and have been for years. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons for that is Abrams, who I would re-sign today because he's an offensive star and should be an all-star, is not a good defender. Now, it should be okay to have him at shortstop as an athlete, and then you're just better defensively than they've been at third, where Brady House has actually been a gigantic upgrade. The problem for them is they have four below-average defenders. Nathaniel Lowe, who's regressed substantially this year on defense at first, Garcia, who's a terrible defensive player at second.
Always
and
has been.
Third base position. You know, with Jose Tena and, you know, everyone other than Paul DeJong, they've played there this year, essentially, before Brady House. That position's been a disaster. So I mean, this is the worst infield defense in the sport. So I worry less about that because, I mean, we're talking about, like, 2028, 2029. And Abrams isn't even under contract at that point. I hope they re-sign him. He's not a Boris guy. But there's no guarantee they're going to do that.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. So they're probably just going to let him, you know, trade him, especially if Willits is ready to go. The team has been dreadful over the last month and a half. It's been an embarrassment is what it's been. And the lineup on Sunday, and I understand Abrams had the day off because he was a little bit banged up and they gave Wood the day off. So your two best players offensively were not in the lineup. But that lineup was embarrassing.
Brutal. Yep. First of all, I don't really know why James Wood had the day off before the All-Star break. I mean, it's not worth picking nits over, but he had played in every game. You guys realize this? Since he came up, he had played in 172 in a row. So he had a little Iron Man streak going. It was one of the longest streaks in baseball. So Davey, every single game that he managed with James Wood on the team, wrote his name in the lineup, and Cairo already here in the first week has given him a day off. So now I'm curious to see what that looks like on the other side of the break. But yeah, it's bad right now, and it's going to get worse. I mean, this is going to be an ugly finish because, let's face it, Jason, they're going to trade, very likely, Kyle Finnegan, who's had a great year. He blew a save at the end of the first half, but he's been their best reliever. I think they're going to trade Nathaniel Lowe, who's on pace for 25 homers and 100 RBI. He's got a year and a half of control. So because he's not a rental and the team actually has him next year, I think they might actually get a decent player for him. They may trade Michael Soroka from the starting rotation, who has underwhelmed statistically, but is the second best stuff in the rotation. So if they actually trade a few pieces like that,
yeah.
I mean, a bad team's about to get worse.
It's going
to
be a 60-win team.
I will say, though, as crazy as it sounds, they're probably not as far away as it feels because of the core that they do have. If they were to actually go out and try to upgrade this roster with some major league resources this offseason, you know, they're not that far away from being a 500 team.
What was last night like? I was listening to you, I don't know, maybe it was like 2, 3 o'clock with Jim Duquette. Were you guys doing the show from the stadium?
Yeah, we were at the ballpark, yep. Kind of at the, you know, we were in the same booth, actually, that ESPN uses to call their stuff, like right behind home plate, which was fun.
Yeah.
Have you been here, Jason?
I haven't. No, I have not.
It's awesome.
Is it?
I mean, everybody building the stadium, including the Commanders, when I talked to some of their people recently, is trying to reinvent the battery, they call it, which is this little like Navy Yard on steroids area with bars and restaurants right outside the ballpark. One of the reasons I think all the owners like it is the Braves own all of that and have their finger in all of the business and the money that comes in, which is nice. It's essentially a real estate deal. But for fans, it's an amazing place to hang out. But
oh, cool.
Vibes were good. I mean, everyone was going crazy for Matt Olson doing the tomahawk chop, which I always find to be very odd as someone who now watches a football team called the Commanders for some reason. it was, you know, it was a packed house, and I think by and large, Atlanta's been a really, really good host for this event. They, you know, didn't show up at all for the Futures game, which was disappointing on Saturday. But since then, they've really shown that this is a good baseball town. That the Braves are having a bad year, but they still love their baseball.
Hey, real quick, while we have you on, got to get your take. You mentioned the Commanders on the Terry deal. Does the Garrett Wilson deal help or hurt Terry? I think it kind of defines the market. I think it ultimately is going to help Terry, even though he's a lot younger.
I agree with you, Eric. I mean, first of all, it feels like this should be easy. That's what's strange to me about this.
It's getting drawn
out. With the DK Metcalf contract, it's basically a blueprint for the deal for McLaurin. Now you've got this deal. There's not a whole lot of wiggle room. I imagine the team's playing some hardball and maybe only wants to give him 3 years. It's going to take 4. I think that this is just inevitable for a lot of reasons, as we've talked about for months. But you just said it. Like we see what the market is. There have been multiple guys of the similar ilk that have gotten paid now. So it's not like the team in McLaurin should be off by $7, $8 million in AAV or even in guaranteed money. So I actually think that makes it more likely, because whether the team likes it or not, it just firms up what we already knew, which is how much it's going to cost.
Do you think it gets done before camp starts?
I have said all along that I thought it would get done before camp starts. Yeah. So, yes, I'll say it does. The caveat to that is, and that's where I'm putting my chips right now, look up the dates on when 49ers players got their deals when Adam Peters was there. And I'm not suggesting that Peters was the negotiator or the reason for this. But you come up in an organization and in a culture with a philosophy, and maybe it rubs off on you. I mean, all of those guys, like Nick Bosa, Trent Williams, Debo when he was there, Ayuk recently, they all got deals in late July after camp started in August. And in fact, one of them, I think it was Nick Bosa, got his deal in September.
Right.
So most of those guys were either holding out or holding in. And it actually was like a month from now or 5 weeks from now when they actually got paid. So that gives me a little bit of pause. There doesn't seem like any reason to not get this thing done before camp, avoid the only distraction you'd have, get McLaurin working out with his teammates, because we all know they're going to pay him. You're not letting this guy walk. So,
I can't.
I mean, let's just skip to the part where you guys are having the press conference.
Joined by Grant Paulson, our colleague. You can listen to him at 2 o'clock on the Grant and Danny Show. All right, we actually have a small pool picking the date as to when Terry would sign. I'm in on July 30th.
You got to nail it.
Cakes, what's your date?
I have August 2nd.
And Jason?
Hold on.
You already forgot?
You didn't write it down? Oh, August 8th. Did I say the 8th?
I think so.
I think I said August 8th.
Do you want in? It's $5.
Gotta you got to nail the date or no one gets
gotta
paid.
Got to hit it exactly, Grant.
7:30, 8:30.
All right.
Let's go Thursday, July 24th. Is anyone on that date?
Nope.
No, they are not.
Wow, you're the most optimistic.
I like it.
So I'm going to go 9 days out against my better judgment, having just given you all those late 49ers days.
Okay. Yeah, you seem to go against what you were saying.
I'm going to say they get this thing done. It just, like, to me, is you guys tell me what you think about this. They do this wacky where they draft some random dude out of UTEP, and they tell us, like, this is a true commander. He lives the commander life. If you cut him open, commanders fall out. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, like, all they talk about is commanders. Commander. Well, what is a commander? And they give you all these traits. That's Terry McLaurin. Like, that is the guy. So you can't do this whole culture. We're all about finding true commanders. And then the guy who lives it, breathes it, and has been it the longest doesn't get paid.
Yeah.
Makes all the sense in the world. Well, doesn't mean it's going to happen. You've got July 24th. All right, you're in.
Drabby will get my Venmo.
Very
$5
good.
Company.
Well, you don't have to send it yet.
You don't need to Venmo us now.
Good. Don't send it yet.
You might win. Why would you do that?
Don't send it yet.
Okay. That's a good point.
Enjoy Atlanta tonight.
Yep. Have fun,
hey,
man.
Real quick on the personal front. How tough is it when you have a fourth child who's a newborn to bail and go to Atlanta?
So it's a great question. What's funny is everyone's been asking me, they're like, you just had a baby, right? And I'm like, yeah, they're like, when did you have the baby? And I'm like, 3 days ago. And they're like, why are you here? Like, what is going on?
Good for you, bud.
I mean, my wife basically kicked me out. Like, I'm like, I don't think I should go. I don't know. And I don't know if it's because it's the fourth. Like, I don't know that I would have even allowed it or done it if it was the first. But it feels to her, I guess, like it was the 50th. She's been very casual about this. But I was home with her for, like, the first day to help, in air quotes. And that just meant I got her water like 3 times, and I asked, like, do you need anything? And she told me, go away from me.
Wow.
So that's kind of the extent of my helping. So, yeah, she was like, hit the road, no problem. It feels awkward. Like, I FaceTime and see the baby. You know what I think about? This is like a weird deep cut here, but how do people, like, in the military or people that are, like, real grown-ups with big boy jobs, some of these people are away for months from babies. Like, I can't wait to get home. It's been 48 hours. I don't know how people do it.
Right. Yeah, no, it's nutty. They're better people. But your wife's a damn good person.
Hell
wow.
Yeah. What's the age range? Is it like from 6 to newborn? How old's your oldest?
Yeah, so my daughter is 6, and then my boy is 4.
It's crazy.
And we've got a girl that turns 2 this month.
And hey, you're very regular. Yeah. You
must have. Every 2 years. Do you have a minivan? Like, what's the car seat situation?
Get one.
No, we have a SUV that probably needs to be bigger than it is.
He needs a church van at this point.
Yeah, you do.
You need a church van, Grant.
Hey,
you know what you need? You need a metro bus.
You're having enough sex for everybody in town. Can you slow down a little bit?
Well, you don't have to have a lot of sex to have children. Yeah. Technically.
All right,
you're accurate. You're deadly accurate.
Yeah, man, you must be a deadly shooter.
I mean, Michael Phelps swimmers. Where does Michael Phelps reside? I can
Baltimore,
tell you, okay?
I guess. I don't know.
So are you gonna address that situation so that you don't make, you know, no more slip past the goalie?
Well, that's a negotiation that's ongoing right now.
Right.
One of us certainly wants that to happen as soon as possible.
Yeah.
You're talking to him right now.
Right.
But let's just say we could have a pool on that date, too.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that I would take July 24th on when I'll be at
Take the over.
Right. Right. It's just something that's exactly. A little daunting about it, right?
Well, 100%. Not only that, but, like, I've always said, so we're both 1 of 4.
Yeah.
So, for me, 4 has always been, like, the maximum, but also a reasonable enough number. I would have been good with 2 or 3. My wife, right. When first ever talked about it, was like, she wants 6 kids, right? I'm like, that's not it.
Oh, she wants more.
So, well, at this point, though, that was before we ever had a kid. So 4 is also a good number for her that we've kind of settled on and what's reasonable. But I view 4 as like, oh, that's like a complete great family. It's big. It's a lot. It's you know, I don't know how we're going to afford it, and it's a disaster, but it's also wonderful, and this is great.
Right.
To me, 5 is where you cross over the threshold of, like, now you're the family with kids just, like, falling out of a van.
You're the Duggars. You become the Duggars if you have 5 or more.
You're going to get your own reality show.
We had a family in my neighborhood, the Grays, who had 9 kids, and it was just like, oh, there's the Grays, you know? Like, the Paulsons don't need to be that.
Right. Understood. Yeah. Well, Grant, get some rest.
Buddy.
Enjoy the All-Star game, and
all right, GP.
Well, we'll see you again soon when you get back to DC.
Fellas, thank you. Be good.
Yep.
All right, buddy.
That's Grant Paulson checking in live from Atlanta, site of the Major League Baseball All-Star Game. We'll be right back. Time now for EB's entertainment page. He's going to regale us with EP stories. Probably a Diddy update. Something about Britney, maybe.
I don't know if I have a Diddy update.
Sydney Sweeney.
The entertainment page driven by BMW Fairfax, DC's only BMW Center of Excellence Award winner for the ultimate buying experience on your ultimate driving machine. Get over to BMW Fairfax. Ask for Miriam. She's the general manager. She'll take care of you, I promise. Mention me. Of course, you can check out their entire selection of certified pre-owned and brand-new vehicles right on their website. It's very simple. Just go to BMWFairfax.com. You will not regret it. I promise. Yeah, Jason mentions Sydney Sweeney. She's in the news for a couple things here. First of all, I guess she is going to start her own lingerie line. And she has some interesting financiers, Cakes. Oh. Lauren Sanchez and Jeff Bezos, they are going to invest. And apparently, there could be as much as $1 billion boost from Bezos and fellow tech tycoon Michael Dell through their Their Coatue Innovation Fund.
I don't know what that is.
Could you get in with better people, though?
I mean,
pretty deep pockets.
Like, I'm guessing if I ever came out with a product, it'd be nice to be on Amazon.
Certainly.
And how about you get with the guy who runs the whole thing?
Yeah.
Well, she could do the funniest thing in the world and not make bras under C cups.
Yeah, that's only buskies.
You gotta have tiggles.
Buskies yeah. only.
If you that's don't have tiggles, bit. you can't.
What if she swerved and like people would think that she'd come up with something that's sexy? What if she swerved and it was all granny panties? Would that become new trend?
That would not be cool.
I don't think so. But who knows?
What is Bezos doing? I mean, shouldn't he be acquiring software companies?
This might be the thing.
Negligee, silky panties. Well, that's what he's interested in.
He's no longer the head of Amazon. I know. He's passed that off to somebody.
He's got hundreds of billions.
He can do whatever he wants. He's doing diversifying.
Well, he's messing around with a $5 million company because he's a pervert.
Well, but it might blow up. I mean, because, like, I forget which Jenner. Doesn't one of the Jenners have, like, $1 billion company doing makeup?
Kylie Jenner, I believe.
Sure.
Yeah.
So Sydney Sweeney could blow up.
I'm sure my daughters have contributed.
I want to come out with golf shirts that make you look jacked.
Is that built in like pecs?
Well, no. But like, it's more like your arms. Mm-hmm. You know, like t-shirts. Some t-shirts can like hide your belly a little bit, and they can make your arms look a little more jacked.
Yeah,
we should have golf shirts like that. I literally have been pondering that for a couple months.
Contact Jeff Bezos. He seems to be in the mood for
golf shirts that make you look jacked
for apparel startups.
Might be my thing, man.
Could be.
Anyway. They say that Megyn Kelly's kind of hating. I mean, I think that she's probably accurate, but she says Sydney Sweeney's the new toast of the town out there because she's got these enormous breasts that everybody's obsessed with. Well, yeah, there's some truth to that. And they say that she was actually invited to the Bezos-Lauren Sanchez wedding, even though she's never met the couple.
I'm sure a lot of people are like that. They just invite... I mean, did they know Tom Brady?
Well, I guess they had a business deal. And because they have the business deal, they invited her. Mm. I don't know if she went, but she was certainly invited.
Yeah, it's like inviting your work friends.
Sydney Sweeney, she definitely went to the wedding.
That was my whole problem with the thing, that he just invited celebrities.
Yeah.
It was a big look at me.
Right. Apparently, they had a business.
They had a business.
You might be right.
Of course I'm right.
Inviting people to your wedding just because they're famous.
People in the country.
Yeah.
They had a business deal.
He's supposed to be a nerd. He's not supposed to be jacked. He's not supposed to... It's just everything about that guy makes me nuts. Sydney Sweeney now is actually also rumored. I guess it's a big deal. They always make a big deal. Who's going to be the next? Now, I don't know that I could name one of them, but they say she's going to be the next Bond girl.
Okay.
So,
Halle Berry was a Bond girl.
She was, point. I'm sure there are famous Bond girls, all of them. I just can't name them.
I think Halle Berry's the only one I can name off the top of my head.
I would tap out there, too.
Anybody else?
Yeah, they're just always attractive. I don't know that they're super famous.
Jane Seymour was a famous Bond girl.
She was, back in the day.
Yeah.
Like probably 40 years ago.
That's right. That's one of your wheelhouses, right?
That's
right. You love the Bonds movies.
He is the world's foremost expert on James Bond movies.
You love James Bond.
He does.
They say...
There hasn't been a Bond film in a while.
I guess they've pumped the brakes on it. I don't know.
Well, I think Amazon acquired the rights to it.
They did.
Bezos buying Bond.
Amazon looked at MGM's like film catalog and said, "We like that. We're gonna buy the whole thing, everything that includes all the James Bond movies." So I think they're also like maybe gonna do like a streaming series for James Bond. I think could be something in the offing.
I rarely watch anything on Amazon.
That's,
I know some people have hyped up Reacher.
I like Reacher. That's about it.
Yeah, I've watched Reacher.
I can't think of anything that I really have watched.
Reacher's pretty good.
I think I watched, was Dave on that, or that might have been on Hulu?
Don't know. Not sure.
Cakes, I know that you were a Jennifer Love Hewitt guy.
I was a JLH guy back in the day.
Big
yeah.
time. And, you know, you'd probably negotiate something with Amy if you had an opportunity, maybe with JLH.
That's a hall pass for him?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, just...
Would you give her Sugar Ray and you get JLH?
Mark McGrath?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I want to do that.
Really?
I don't know if I want to do that
His
deal.
Hall pass would probably be for, like, Daniel Negreanu.
Michael the Grinder is rocking. He's made the final table.
That was getting his hall pass.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm smitten with poker players.
Instead of a hot chick.
Were you ever a Reese Witherspoon guy?
I could be a Reese Witherspoon back in the day. Sure.
All right. Well, she's got a new guy, and probably not anything like you. He's a German financier. How do you say that? Financier?
Financier, I believe.
Financier.
I am neither of those things.
Yeah. Oliver Heyman. Mm-hmm. Armin, whatever.
You might
name
be
is.
German, Cakes.
You might be German.
You just don't know.
You could be 100% German. You got no
German
idea.
But I know he's not some loaded German.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's out making out with him in public. They were on some fancy yacht in Saint-Tropez, France.
He probably bought Bitcoin at like $3 a coin.
Cakes, dude, if
genius.
You could, without finding out the story. Mm-hmm. You know, of your adoption.
Sure.
Without finding out who the mom and dad are, would you, if somebody just gave you the information, like, this is your ethnicity,
this is
your background, and here's your medical history.
I have some of that. I don't have the medical history, but I have some of, like, my background is, like, Scottish,
okay,
Irish.
You're a mutt. You're just a mutt.
Yeah, like most mutts. I'm a mutt.
A Euro mutt.
Okay, yeah. I didn't know know that you had that.
Yeah. There could be some Germans.
Because the medical history could be big.
Yeah.
Actually, I just saw my uncle, and he told me to make sure I check that in my family they got a bicuspid. I get bicuspid, but it was a kind of over my head.
Yeah,
he's like, you need to get a sonogram or whatever on your heart because people have two instead of three.
Silly ticker.
I might have a bicuspid something.
Low you got pulse. The nice tick.
Got a good ticker.
Yeah.
As knock on wood, I need.
Yeah. Knock on some wood.
Knock on all the wood.
That looks as like of fake right, wood.
Well, whatever. It's closest thing to wood that's in here. Good ticker. Good pulse rate, cholesterol, a little bit of everything, but the ticker is good.
Don't worry
solid.
About cholesterol. Cholesterol's hype. Don't worry about it.
I'm not that worried about it.
Joy Taylor, you know her from FS1? Remember, she's the one
who
I guess, accused the Fox or somebody else accused her of having a sexual relationship with Emmanuel Acho and one of the executives there, Charlie Dixon, to advance her career, a makeup artist.
Jason Taylor's sister, correct? Yeah.
Yes.
I might be right.
Yeah.
Well, she's been let go by Fox Sports 1, as has Emmanuel Acho.
And Craig Carton.
They got rid of three shows. Oh, including Craig Carton?
Guy Carton?
I didn't know that.
And your
Carton.
Guy, E.B., Danny Parsons.
Oh, no.
Oh, that
the guy that you made fun of.
Listen, I don't want to be too hard on him. Parkins.
Oh,
I don't want to be
Parkins? I thought it was Parsons.
Parkins. I don't want to be too hard on him, but he's a radio guy. He's not a made-for-TV guy.
No, but they got rid of all their morning shows.
Yeah, they got rid of all the shows that were created by Charlie Dixon.
Okay.
So, Breakfast Ball, which was hosted by Craig Carton, Mark Schlereth, and Danny Parkins. The Facility, which was Keyshawn Taylor?
Keyshawn wasn't on it. The Facility was Acho, Chase Daniel, James Jones, and LaShawn McCoy.
Speak was co-hosted by Keyshawn Taylor.
JP's in mourning. JP's in mourning today.
He watches them all.
I like The Facility.
Yeah.
Speak was Keyshawn and Paul Pierce. Well,
why do they say Keyshawn Taylor? Are they just wrong?
They botched it. Yeah, Keyshawn Johnson.
Okay.
Hey, not all those guys are... Danny Parkins is not out of a job. That show is canceled.
Yeah.
He's one of the ones that survived.
Isn't he an Odyssey guy?
Is he the nerd?
He was,
the nerdy dude?
Yes. Yeah, is it really banged up teeth? Believe me, I got banged up teeth. His teeth are banged up. My teeth
You've
are more
You've been a day one
order.
Hater of that guy.
What?
You've been a day one hater
day
of that
one.
Guy.
Day one.
Yeah. Yeah. Just,
you're jealous.
Flag plant hater.
Zero jealousy.
Lots of jealousy.
Zero jealousy. He's just spectacularly ugly. He's just not telegenic. He's just
and
not.
This is coming from Mr. Photogenic.
Yeah.
He's a radio guy.
What?
He's a radio guy. Yeah.
He's a radio guy.
So the two shows that survived were...
I don't know. I just so ugly.
The two shows that survived were Colin Cowherd show, and then
are they replacing him up as radio for this?
Yeah,
I'm sure he's getting paid full. They're paying him out.
Who's that?
Carton. Didn't he give up radio for this TV thing?
Yeah.
No, I'm. You know, he was so nice to us.
Let's get him back on the show.
He's very nice.
Yeah, let's get him back on. We can trash FS1.
We can talk about it.
But the Herd lasts, and then First Things First, which is Nick Wright's show.
Man, JP does know every lineup.
Are you more of an FS1 guy than ESPN? Do you like that better? Is that your network?
They're banter shows, probably.
Yeah, you're an FS1 guy.
I'd rather watch the I would have rather watched the facility than First Take.
Oh, hope you DVR'd some episodes so you can revisit. But
look, First Take is the monster. That's why Stephen Smith.
Who's on that one?
Stephen A. Smith. That's why he gets paid $25 million a year.
I ain't watching none of them.
Yeah, but during football season, they'll have Dan Orlovsky on and all the experts.
Right.
They've got to fill 24 hours.
I saw a recent article where Orlovsky, I think he recently re-upped with ESPN, right? And he talked about all the machinations of the negotiations and the various things. He wants to maybe coach at some point, all the things he was projecting his career out. But who did he say? He was so upset that somebody won an Emmy instead of him. I think he said that.
He's doing an EB bit.
Yeah.
I don't know. He was very upset
that he didn't win, like, best sports analyst or something.
Okay.
I can't remember who won it.
Did Orlovsky win it? I feel like Orlovsky might have won it.
No, what I'm saying, Orlovsky's the one that was upset.
Oh.
I think Barkley won it.
Yeah, he said he was like legitimately upset
that peeved.
Barkley won analysts over because he put so much work into it. And, you know, Barkley just showing up winging it. Yeah. Let's be honest. Does anybody think Barkley's doing any homework?
No, of course not. He's out teeing it up.
Right, but I had to
look at his swing.
I was like, wow, you know what? I can understand that.
Yeah.
I can't believe AJ Ataihe got the 6 Emmys.
Love to bring him up.
He's a good dude.
He is a good guy.
I like him.
But why do I see a picture of him holding an Emmy? Maybe he's won a previous Emmy?
Maybe.
Could be.
That's all I know is he said
he's
pissed
off. I see the story. He says he's upset.
Yeah. And last but not least, the Backstreet Boys. They're doing a Las Vegas Sphere summer residency.
I know. They were there when I left.
I didn't know they were doing a whole residency.
Dude, they were there when I left Vegas.
That's like the best residency to get, the Sphere.
That's probably big money.
Have you seen some of the clips?
I've seen some of the clips,
It looks amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. That is something.
I mean, the Sphere looks amazing just from the outside. Yeah. I can only imagine being inside and seeing all those crazy visuals.
Yeah.
So good for them. Those guys are still packing them in at this age. All right. We're the Jux. We'll be right back. So this story in the outline that Trav put in for 845 is... Here's the headline or the tag on the outline. Older men have too much baggage. So I'm figuring there's some sort of like detailed study about older guys who are dating younger women, and the younger women are just tired of dating older guys.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a study of like 1,000 women. It's one woman.
What?
Okay. She's described as part-time nurse. Also, part-time stripper.
Yeah.
She's got big fake jugs.
Hey, you
got
to make some money.
And she's 38 years old, and she's basically saying, I'm tired of calling her a cougar? I'm tired of dating guys who are around my age who are like divorced and just boo-boo about their ex-wives and their issues with their kids.
She wants to date the young kids.
She wants to date like the 20-year-olds. And the 20-year-olds just smash. She doesn't want to date the dudes her age.
Hold on, she's 38 and she calls herself a cougar. Are cougars as young as 38 now?
I guess if they're with like 20-year-olds, you could
cougars
categorize
like,
them as such.
We're more like late 40s, maybe early 50s.
I tend to think my cougar line would probably be 45.
Yeah, I think that's a good. Yeah, I wouldn't call a 38-year-old a cougar.
It's too early to be a cougar.
Yeah,
well, for you guys,
that's but she could be the M word for sure.
Yeah. Oh, she definitely
could. She could be the what?
The M word, which we haven't been able to use since our HFS days.
So this is
I don't know.
This is under sex and relationships.
It sounds like milk. Just change one letter.
The headline from the New York Post is, I'm a cougar swapping toy boys with my friends. Men my age have too much baggage and are bad in bed. That's a real headline from NewYorkPost.com.
Well, couldn't you say all men are bad in bed on the whole?
Probably,
I would say, like, if you had to make a general accusation, and I'm sure all of us have our own little pride where we think we have one little trick or something, but for the most part, men bad in bed. For the most part.
Probably a good blanket statement.
I saw Charlize Theron.
I saw that,
who,
too.
I guess would be categorized as a cougar. Yeah. I think
she
would be categorized as a cougar.
So what is she, 53?
She's got to be in her
50s. Maybe we even talked about it on this show. She talked about hooking up with the young guy.
Yeah, she said she banged a 26-year-old and it was amazing.
Yeah, I thought our whole advantage as the older guys was experience.
You get better. You get better.
Yeah. Now better that's being taken away.
Yeah. Like, I mean, what do we have? Yeah. What's left?
I thought that, we got nothing now. Yeah. I mean, money, but I don't have any of that.
Hey, you got hair.
Yeah, I guess that. But so does the young guy. Yeah.
When that's you were true. Yeah. Now, good you point. Were already married when you were 25, Cakes, but just imagine if you were single at 25, would you have considered a 38-year-old? I don't know when I was single and like 25 that I ever thought about like hooking up with somebody that was almost 40.
Well, my son,
maybe not 40, but maybe early 30s.
One of my son's best friends, Steven, is he 24 or 25? He's 24, right?
So same age as Kelsey.
He'll turn 25 in September. All right. Mm-hmm. So he's 24. His best friend, also 24, dating a 30-year-old. Mm-hmm. And we're kind of laughing about it.
By the way, I was having breakfast with Barstool Nate, and he said he knew he was washed when he was in a New York City bar.
Yeah.
And your son came up and introduced himself to him.
Oh, really?
Because he saw him out, and I guess he recognized
Nate. I told you, my son was like, hanging out with all those
guys. He's like, oh, my
God,
Stephen Bickle is, you know, over 21. I don't know how old he was at this point. But Nate was like, oh, I just feel like the most washed guy on the planet.
Did you guys get texts from our guy Chuck Lee?
I did.
Chuck Lee said for the first time he was in Montauk, and he got identified by a Junkies listener.
Dude.
Wow.
Now, that Junkies listener was a guy that I knew, like, kind of a friend of mine I know through the sports world.
Uh-huh. I had the craziest thing happen to me in upstate New York. I'm outside of...
Love Ithaca, by the way.
I was outside of a Chipotle. Chipotle. I didn't tell you guys this, right? I was outside of a Chipotle. My girls, I had my picky eater. Yeah. We're constantly having to go to random places for my picky eater. My other two kids eat anything. My youngest, she's picky.
What's her Chipotle order?
It's a cheese quesadilla, which apparently now Chipotle, you can't even order in person. They have a weird, bizarre thing where you have to do it on the mobile app. Makes no sense.
Mm.
And so it takes 10 minutes longer if you don't remember that. So I'm waiting in there and I'm sitting out, in Ithaca, which it is what it is.
Never been, probably will never go.
It's just, whatever. It's just a whatever town. And I'm just sitting there in the car. My wife is driving, shocker. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting there in my car, and we're both doom scrolling, and all of a sudden I see like a vagrant, like it's just a person walking around. And by the way, you see them all over the place. Mm-hmm. And he started coming towards me, and he started pointing at me. Uh-huh. I'm literally in the car, in a parking lot, like who pays attention to people in cars? And he starts pointing at me, and I thought, oh, does this guy want drugs? Like, what does he want? And I roll down the window, and he goes, "You're EB."
What's
going on? I mean, it's very cool to be recognized, but not in your car.
Hold on. He saw you through the window?
Yes! We're sitting in a parking lot waiting for my daughter.
You have hurting tint on your windows. Yeah. Tippy tint.
Does he have a kid? This is a crazy question. Does he have a kid that goes there?
No.
Why is he up there?
His parents live in Ithaca. He visits his parents frequently. He lives in this area.
He was up there visiting.
I guess I don't know.
But he looked homeless.
Celebrity sighting in Ithaca.
Yeah. I don't know. And no, it's just, I'm not saying it for that reason. I'm just saying it's because
it's the most bizarre thing.
Yeah. Like you're so covered up in a car.
Yeah.
Like you're not like, it's not like you're sitting in a Chipotle. I was in a parking lot.
Incredible junkie sighting in the history of the show is still Jason's at a...
That's the most incredible.
Were you at a Tigers game or a Mariners
game? That's the most incredible
one. The old Tiger Stadium.
That's the most incredible one.
And they just heard his voice.
The guy turns around in front of him.
They were sitting right below us, and he said, "Dude, I know your voice." I said, "Really?"
Now, that's when we were on WDFN.
We were
on Westwood. And honestly, I mean, we had some audience in some towns, but you didn't think you'd have enough that they'd recognize your voice in Tiger Stadium.
Correct. DFN was one of the few. Actually only carried 1 hour of our show live, but DFN in Detroit.
Was DFN the station where the kid would call us?
Carmen.
Yes. Carmen.
Yes.
It was DFN.
Carmen, yes. I remember him. I remember his name distinctly.
Carmen.
What was his go-to line?
I can't remember his line.
What did he say?
He had a weird like.
Did he say you know what?
He talked almost like Cartman from South Park. Like he had that weird affect.
His voice had a signature line. I can't remember it.
I can't remember it either. But it was wacky.
It'd make us laugh.
We'd definitely laugh like hyenas whenever he would call in. That was a long time ago.
Yeah. Anyway, that happened to me.
Celebrity sighting.
It's not that it was a celebrity sighting. It was an awkward sighting.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, you were thrown. Anyway, you were a little bit shook.
That's the most thrown ever. Like I've been. People, I'll run into people in a volleyball tournament. I'll run into people like you're at a McDonald's in a random town, and maybe you run into somebody. But to be in your car and to someone, I think she nailed it. He probably saw that we had a Cornell volleyball sticker, and we have a Marist. You know, they're not stickers; they're magnets,
right? And so Maryland Marist plates, lacrosse. Like that's,
So he that saw makes sense. That and probably, and then he started snooping around. Bizarre, dude.
So what did you say? You were like, yeah.
And then really and that nice was it? To meet you. Very nice. You know, meanwhile, I'm like, this guy's freaking, what's going on here? You know, that's what I was thinking. But he's a really nice guy.
Nice.
But I guess he travels up there all the time.
You always think the worst. Just like you thought the gravestone of my mom's was vandalized.
Well, not vandalized because of you, but random.
I understand random, that.
Random. Well,
I
also
found it hard to believe.
When that guy crashed into the studio station, I thought probably a bomber.
Probably what I thought too.
Yeah, terrorist.
Had to get twit pics though.
I don't know that we ever figured out exactly what happened. I'm guessing that he fell asleep at the wheel.
That dude live?
He lived.
Yeah, he lived.
Yeah, he was fine.
He didn't have like any serious injuries.
So bizarre.
That's why I went in the car and he was fine. You guys went to go get your cameras to take pictures.
JP, we're journalists.
Yeah.
We're reporters. We were intrepid reporters on the scene.
What?
The news talked to you guys, not the JP.
Yeah. I got that media. I think Channel 4 mentioned it. Off one of our tweets.
Exactly. Yeah,
newsbreakers.
Yeah, that's what we do. All right, got to take a break for the junks. We'll be right back.